All right, thank you, ladies, for that. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 2 once again. It's good to see you here and appreciate that you've probably got plans and things after. And I'm glad for mums. I'm glad for just their heart to want to influence their children to do right, and for those who are believers to walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, and there's many things that a mum, within just her making and in how she is designed, she responds and acts in certain ways. And you understand that mothers, they not only give their children that warmth and care, but they have this protective instinct within them. And mums who they just do what they desire is just really for their children to be safe and sound. And that's why mums will check in, you know, once, twice, three times to make sure kids are in bed. That's why they'll give counsel that will lead children to think safely and to think well and to think with wisdom. And in all of that, we understand that a mum has a protective instinct. And I think we live in a world more and more that there's just inherent spiritual dangers. And there's that tendency for mums in our day to have a second think and to be really fearful of what is out there for their children. And I think that's a God-given thing. I think when we recognize that, and you know, there's mums who just launch into action as soon as they see a need. And I'm glad for a mum who's like that. I'm glad for several times where my mum had to come in between me and harm, you know, being a boy, being adventurous and all of that. But I'm glad for mums who jump into action. I read about a mum who had recently taken CPR lessons. And, you know, mums do those kind of things, right? Dads never think about CPR lessons, you know. They just look for other ways, or just, you know, usually with our kids, I just tell them, hey, just walk it off, right? But mums, they look for ways to be a better protector. And there's a particular mum I read about. She just happened to take some CPR lessons, and she was walking at the shopping center one day, and she saw a crowd gathered around someone who was on the ground. And immediately she leaped into action and she started to perform CPR on this young man. And suddenly two large men pulled this mum off this young man. And they said, ma'am, we're just trying to arrest this young man. And, you know, sometimes the protective instincts of a mum can leap into action regardless of the situation. And I'm glad for mums. I'm glad that they leap into action when there's a need. And we're gonna look at a story in the Bible of a mum who was in a very precarious situation. And really not for herself, but for her child. If you understand the context and history that we're reading about here in the scriptures this morning, you understand that there was a time where the nation of Israel dwelt in Egypt. But it had now come to a time where the people there were, they had overgrown the very ones that were the very Egyptians, and they began to be a threat, and there was a Pharaoh that knew no longer Joseph. And so here comes a little bit of that retribution that happened toward the nation of Israel. And notice again with me in verse 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, chapter 2, verse 1, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And if you were to just look at that, and you see that she saw him, that she was a goodly child, if you stopped there, it would just be a normal scene. There was a marriage, and then there was a child. But then the next words give a little bit of context as to really the issue or the tension of the story. She hid him 3 months. Why? Because if we took the time to read chapter 1, you understand that every child, every male child, was being targeted and then being killed. If we look at that, the Pharaoh who knew no longer Joseph, who saw the threat of that people, wanted to fix that, and here's how he fixed it. He was going to commit murder. It was dangerous. This was a tenuous time in the nation of Israel's history, and what a time to have a child. You know, there's sometimes a little bit of caution when we think about having children today. You know, we see the spiritual condition of our world. We see a few of the uncertainties that, and what I'm saying is, we live in a world that is full of fear. We live in a world that has some inherent dangers that, you know, we sometimes lament that we're growing, we're raising children in a very different environment to the Australia that we grew up with. It's so different. We no longer can sort of take for granted that our kids could walk down the street and, you know, not have a concern in the world. But we see there's just inherent dangers in our world today. And if we're not careful, we can just sort of look at that fear and be crippled by it. And, you know, when you think about motherhood, you feel a great deal of responsibility. It's a powerful calling. You know, there's no medals for midnight prayers of concern. There's no applause for folded laundry and for unending chores and unending housework. There's no headlines for tears shed in private for children who perhaps they're already in the world. There's no medal for that. There's no headlines. But I'm saying heaven notices. And heaven notices your heart of concern. And what our passage does, it drops us into a dark moment in Israel's history. Pharaoh has issued a decree, every Hebrew son must die. It's ruthless, systematic, it's terrifying. And we read it, into that darkness steps a mother. She can't change the government. She can't remove the danger. She can't silence Pharaoh. But here's what she can do. She can trust God. And that's enough. And today we're going to look at Jochebed. Not because she was famous, really. She was only ever really mentioned by name twice in Scripture, in Exodus chapter 6, Numbers chapter 23. But we understand that this woman, because she was faithful, because she trusted, and because she had faith, her story really reminds us of something deeply encouraging. And here's what it is. The reward of a faithful mother isn't found in applause. It's found in the hands of a faithful God. And I want to encourage you, mums, this morning about that, because it can feel a little bit that way. It can feel like you're raising these children and really raising them in a world that can be dark and dangerous. That has a lot of unknowns. That in fact, if you weren't careful, it could lead them to a place of destruction. And yet what we find is God miraculously works in the life of this mother and her child Moses. And we're going to find here some encouragement, I hope, for you mums this morning. Let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to bless as we head into the message. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, there's just many emotions in our hearts today. Lord, even within me, and I would ask that you would just, even within me, just quiet my own spirit. And Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to just overtake and ask for your presence. I ask for your enabling today. And then, Father, for all of us here who are listening to the Word of God, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I pray that your Word would Lord, enumerate, just illuminate our hearts to understanding. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I pray particularly that you'd encourage each mum here. And that, Lord, you'd allow them, Lord, to just gaze upon you, dear Jesus. And I pray that you would help us as we open your Word today. May you just be glorified in everything that's said and done. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice a couple of characteristics about this mother, and I want to encourage you in this way. Firstly, what we find is her faith was courageous. And again, we read in verse 2 that this woman conceived at a time where it just seemed very difficult. And, you know, I think that we ought to be mindful of the time. I think we ought to recognize that in the moment of history that we're reading about was a dangerous one. And what that often requires is it requires courage. Okay, her faith was courageous. And what we find was she didn't just allow the fear of the day to overtake and cripple her and demoralize her. No, she did what she could. And what we find, firstly, is that she hid him 3 months. You know, you ever have a newborn and, you know, maybe it's a formal situation, but you couldn't find a babysitter, or that's what you do. You bring children that you have to care for. And you have tried to keep them quiet. It's difficult, isn't it? All right, babies will cry when they cry. And at that point, the way they communicate is to... And you imagine if a child's life was based on or relied upon your ability to keep this child quiet. And you know, this child who just was like any child, the Bible tells us it was a goodly child. The Bible tells us that really what he was saying was this was a good-looking kid. He was cute. And yet still a baby. Still in the world that he was born into. And so really it came down to a mother's response. And what she did was she had the courage to hide him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith Moses was hid 3 months. And what we find is Jochebed's first act, it wasn't really, if you think about it, dramatic. But it was this, it was protective. She hid her son. And that sounds simple, but under that circumstance, under Pharaoh's decree, if they were to be found, it was really going to be not just danger, but ultimately it was going to be death. And so this was courageous. And under Pharaoh's decree, what this mother was showing was defiance and faith. You know, faith doesn't always have to shout. What sometimes faith looks like is just quiet courage. A courage to not just buy into the systems of this world and some of the outcomes that sometimes we think that's the only outcome that'll happen. No, we've got to encourage you. I want to encourage you that there needs to be those who will take courage in our day. And, you know, she saw something in her son, and Scripture says that he was a goodly child, he was a proper child. What we find that doesn't merely mean he was attractive or good looking. It also suggests that there was a divine purpose in the life of this child. Hey, can I remind you this morning that actually there is a divine purpose for every child. That's why we're the people that believe life begins in the womb, because we understand that life is given by God. And because of that, there's a divine purpose in every life. And understand that this morning, that, you know, as we go about and we have that responsibility of raising children, there's not only that physical care that we're to give towards it, there's that spiritual undertaking, that spiritual stewardship. And to recognize that this child had a divine purpose in his life. I love what Isaiah chapter 49 verse 5 says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob against him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." Isaiah. There was an understanding that God formed him to be a servant. And I want to say to you that every child here, God is forming. And we get to be part of that, but it takes some courage today to do it. It takes courage to go against the grain. It takes courage to be different. It takes courage to look at the world and the fearfulness of it and to respond by faith, to say, God is able and God has called me. That's courage. And I'm saying while Egypt ruled by fear, her home was ruled by faith. You know, mothers know all too well today, they know fear. You fear for your children's future. You fear for their faith and, you know, the world that wants to oppress that and wants to deny that. And you fear the culture that they're growing up in. You fear perhaps even failure. And Jochebed, really, she shows us something freeing. What happens is faith doesn't eliminate fear. It anchors you in something greater. See, what she understood was she couldn't protect Moses forever, but she could obey God today. That life was too valuable for her to just give up. That life was too valuable for her to just go with what was dictated to her. That life was too valuable for her to just go with the flow and to sort of just go, you know what? It's too hard. No, she took courage. And listen, here's what we want. We want just every fear to be eliminated, but fear is a part of life. And there are things to be feared. And yet, here's the secret is that if we have a fear of God, we don't have to have so much fear out there. Because if we fear God, then really all other fears are diminished. And sometimes that's really all it takes. It's enough. It's obedience for today. It's what you will do today. And I'm glad that you're here this morning. You're in church. And I'm glad that you have taken the time to really just make that important in your life. Praise God for you. But Monday comes and Tuesday comes and Wednesday comes and every day comes. And there's just a daily courage and a daily obedience that you need. And mothers, if all you did this week was hide them in your heart. If you would just pray, if you would just protect, if you would just point your children toward God, what I'm saying is you did eternal work. And that takes courage. And so firstly, we see that her faith was courageous. She hid him. But then secondly, notice in verse 3. So she hid him 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And notice what happened. Not only was this Jochebed, this mother, courageous, what we find is that she built an ark. And here's the thing that she did next. Her faith was also this. It was creative. It was creative. She found a way. You know, it takes a little bit of effort to be creative. If you've ever tried to keep your children occupied over the summer, here's the trick: without using a screen, then it takes creativity, doesn't it? You need to be creative. You need to find every park imaginable around your area. You need to find every which way to paint that painting, and you need to find every which way to play that game with them, and it takes time. And you know, we live in a world that is in some ways forcing us to be a lot more creative about our faith. In this, that, you know, there's sometimes we live in a time where we're really, I think, more and more, there'll be a bit of a frowning upon our faith. And in those times, we've got to be creative. There came a moment when hiding was no longer possible. And so here's what she did. She built. You know, there's things that we build all the time in how we act, in how we behave. We're building things in our home. We're building behaviors. We're building expectations and how we are in service to the Lord, how we are in how we treat the Word of God, how we are in the simple things of life, the daily things of life. You know what we're doing? We're constantly building. And here in this particular situation, Jochebed had enough skill to be able to build this little ark of bulrushes. And notice the word ark. It's the same word used for Noah's ark. Noah's ark carried a family through judgment. And here what we find, Jochebed's ark carried a baby through danger. And what we find was her faith was creative. And here's what I'm saying. Faith doesn't need to panic. When control is lost, it prepares. You know, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a time in every mother's life where there's going to be a letting go. It's a slow burn. You know, you raise them, you spend all your time with them, and then there's going to be a time where actually you no longer have control. But ultimately, at that point, faith doesn't panic when control is lost. It prepares. That's why it's actually incumbent upon every mother. The role is to prepare. Is to prepare them for that big bad world. Is to prepare them for that task of living as adults. And you know, it was funny this week. I've got a lot of friends in the U.S. and a lot of them are going through graduation season. And a lot of their children who have gone through not just high school, but now through university or some, many of them Bible college, they've gone and they're graduating. And then there's some who are for the first time in their lives, they've got to do this thing called adulting, right? They've got to be adults for the first time in their lives. They're no longer under that protection. They're no longer under that watch care that mom particularly and dad particularly puts over them. And it's funny, some who have graduated a little bit older, they've completed their master's degree and they've had their adulting, but here they are graduating, feeling like new again. And I'm saying that there's moments in life where actually for us as parents and mums, you too, it's actually you lose control. You're no longer in control. Your job in many ways, whether you like it or not, is done. But here's the point. Before that time, it's about preparation. And I'm saying she didn't just throw Moses into the Nile. She placed him carefully. And you know, I understand that there's many here, you're in different seasons of your life. You're at the towards the end of that parenting time. Some of you, you're past that. You're now, in a way, a bit of a spectator and you're involved a little bit from afar. You've let them go into marriages and now into perhaps their own child rearing. And you wonder and you hope that you've done all you can to do that. But I want to speak to some of you who you're in that stage. You're in that season of preparation. And sometimes that takes a whole lot of energy. It takes a whole lot to be creative. It takes a whole lot to think through what can happen and to prepare. And yet, here's what I'm saying, it's all worth it. There comes a time in every mother's life when hiding turns into releasing. You used to hide them in your heart, now you've got to release them. And you can guard their early years, you can shape their foundations, but eventually you've got to entrust them to God's providence. And you know, some might see that as weakness, but here's how I see it. I see that as faith. And here's the encouragement. You know, the river was meant to destroy Moses, but it became the river that delivered him. You think about it, the Nile carried him not to death, but to destiny. And many of you, you've released children into school environments, into workplaces, into universities, into marriages, into ministry, and you've gone so, no doubt, with trembling prayer. You know, I've shared this many times, but the most moving memory I have as a child is just hearing my parents pray for me. You know, on the odd occasion where I woke up early and I walked out and there, before work, I could hear my parents praying for us siblings by name. That's a precious memory. And I'm glad that that has come to fruition. And I'm glad that over time, those trembling prayers has helped. And hear this clearly this morning, God steers what faith surrenders. You know, you may feel like you've lost control, but I want to remind you, God hasn't. And the one whom we release our children, we understand she took him an ark. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Yeah. And notice verse 20, and this is referring to Noah and his ark. Notice this, which sometime in verse 20 were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. We understand that it took took Noah 120 years to build that ark, prepare that ark. And then in all of that, only eight souls were saved by water. Notice verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptisms doth also now save us, not the putting away of the faith of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what he's linking the ark to? It's a type of Jesus Christ. It's a type of that salvation offered us. And he's saying here that she took for him an ark. And again, this shouldn't be lost on us. She didn't just release him into just an ark. It was creative in that she thought of a way to preserve his life. She took a risk of faith. But she didn't just release it. She released him to that Nile, in that river, in an ark. And I want to say to you that that's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know who he is? He's the ultimate vessel for your children. And you know, if you're going to release that one, you're going to release them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what that means by implication. Firstly, you ought to know him yourself. Mums, if you're here this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as your Lord? Do you know him as your Master? Do you know him? And then for those of you who do know him, do you know him? And do you walk with him? And do you draw your strength? Is that something that's seen in your children? What you're doing, you're forming Christ in them. And what you're not seeing now is you're building something. You're not just building anything, you're building the one that can be the great vessel to take them through their time. And, you know, we've got to release our children in his watch, care, and protection. Again, that same word used for Noah's ark in Scripture, an ark is always a place where life is preserved through judgment. Noah entered the ark and he was carried through the flood. Moses was placed in an ark and carried through the Nile. Israel later would be led by the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God met with his people. I'm saying an ark is where God keeps what he intends to preserve. And many times we want to release them under our own strength and our own power. We want to release them under our own tutelage and our own, and there's a place for that. You play a role. But if you don't release them in the hands of an almighty God, who's the ultimate protector and the ultimate guider, then here's what we do, we miss. And we've got to recognize that there's a type here that is given of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ark is where God keeps what he intends to preserve. And Jochebed didn't just release her son into the river. She placed him in an ark. Here's what she didn't do. She didn't trust the Nile. Right? We don't need to trust the world. She just trusted what God had provided to carry him through it. And I want to remind you this morning, there's only one true ark that carries us through judgment, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, just as Noah was safe in the ark, we are safe in Christ. Just as Moses was preserved in the ark, we are secured in Christ. And just as the waters couldn't destroy what was in the ark, judgment cannot touch those who are in him. And Jochebed, she couldn't control the river, but she could place her son in the ark. You know, really, that's the calling of every mother. You know, you can't control every decision your child makes. You can't control every influence they face, every path they take. But you can do this. You can place them in Christ. You can pray them into Christ. You can teach them Christ. You can point them to Christ. You can entrust them to Christ. And ultimately, your child doesn't need a perfect environment. Here's what they need: a secure Savior. And so much of what we create, if we would create an environment where the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted and preeminent, What God will do is he'll allow us to release our children to him. And it's not that we trust the Nile, but we trust the vessel that they're being carried in. And lastly, as we think about what happened, we see that the story unfolds. The sister, Miriam, stands afar off, watches. And it just so happens that the daughter of Pharaoh, she's bathing and she's walking along the river. And she finds this beautiful child, this Hebrew child. And out of nowhere, pops up the sister in verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Here's a good idea, Pharaoh's daughter. Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for free, for thee, not for free." That's a Freudian slip there. For free, for thee, all right? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me." And notice this, "and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. You know, it wasn't any random woman. It was his own. It was the mother. It was Jochebed. What a miracle. And I'm saying that her faith ultimately was confirmed. Hey, here's what was nice. She was paid to raise him. Any mums? I'd love to be paid to raise, you know. Some of you are like, "I just need a raise. That's what I need." And it's the amazing thing about this was God had turned it around. And after that release, and after that release into the ark, the very river that seemingly was going to take her son away was the very river that brought him back. You think about that. But that would not have been possible without the Lord, without that ark and that type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what we want. We want our children to come back. And we make all these plans and we try to do all these things. And here's what God is trying to tell us. Here's how her faith was confirmed. Here's how she was paid to raise him. She got her reward. Was all really, to begin with, she had to release him in God's hands. And really think about this divine irony at its finest. Pharaoh decrees death, and then Pharaoh's daughter rescues for life. Then you see Pharaoh's treasury funds the deliverer. And I'm saying only God could write that story. And Jochebed isn't only reunited with her son, but she's also paid to raise him. You know, when we release our young ones in the hands of an almighty God, you know what it happens? It pays dividends. You just don't know how it happens, but it pays dividends. And God blesses and God helps and God allows. And yet there's the risk. And what a picture of God's kindness that we have here. And, you know, this thing that she did in secret paid ultimate dividends. Hey, isn't that a principle in the scriptures, the things that we do in secret? He says in Matthew 6:4 that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You know, we're living in a time where so much of what we do can become publicized, and we could publicly put some things and you know, put on social media some of the happy snaps. And you know, I'm not against that per se, but sometimes that's it. That's the substance of our lives, is what we present to the world that's watching. We just want to appear and we want to have the rules and have the kids perfectly lined up, and we want their hair to be combed just a certain way, and we want matching outfits for that photo day that we're going to have. That's all well and good. But if that's the substance of our lives and we've forgotten the secret things, we've forgotten the secret midnight prayers and the broken heart, and we go through all of that and we don't know if there's a visible reward. We certainly don't get any likes or applauses. It's unknown. And yet, that was the economy. That was God's economy. It's that he rewards those things in secret openly. And never underestimate what God does through a faithful mother in hidden seasons. in your hidden times of prayer, your hidden hearts that are broken, your hidden desires that you just give to God. What we find is that her faith was confirmed. And now Scripture helps us understand that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so she acted by faith and God responded as a rewarder. I'm saying that her reward wasn't fame, but her reward was influence. And before Moses ever stood before Pharaoh, he sat on his mother's lap. Before he wrote the law, he heard about Jehovah God. Before Egypt trained his mind, a mother shaped his heart. And you know, that's the joy of motherhood is before we release them over there, we get to shape and we get to form. And we understand that Moses had knowledge that he was somewhat the deliverer. We know that he didn't take that really well. He ended up using by force. And yet God redeemed that situation anyway. But what we understand is before that, there was a forming. And it was at the voice and at the tutelage of one Jochebed. And yet Scripture is so full of that example in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. This is Paul to Timothy. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. There was a forming. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And there's that shaping. And we shouldn't underestimate the early shaping of a mother. Some, maybe of you, feel like the early years are repetitive. You're feeding, you're teaching, you're correcting, you're rinsing, you're repeating. And foundations are being formed that are not visible until the storms come. You're reading those scriptures, you're praying, you're teaching and you're helping them learn. You're building foundations that aren't visible until storms come. And Moses would one day, he's going to stand before Pharaoh and confront that tyranny. And he would lead a nation and he would part the Red Sea and his courage would be seen. But his courage was formed long before that in a faithful home. It's like the poet said, the hand that rocks a cradle is the hand that rules the world. And here, we end here. Here's some necessary encouragement for every mother. Because here's what we're going to say before we move on. The reality is not every mother feels rewarded today. Some of you are faithful, but your children aren't walking with God. Some of you have prayed, you've taught, you've sacrificed, and you've carried disappointment. So how do we reconcile this? After that story, how do we reconcile? We've got to be careful how we define reward. See, the Bible tells us it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Can I remind you, ladies, today, actually, you're a steward. That child is the Lord's heritage. You're a steward of that child. And our reward, sometimes we want to put it to results and outcomes. But God measures not outcomes. He measures faithfulness. And I'm saying that children still make their own choices. Even in Scripture, godly homes didn't always produce godly results. So I'm saying, hear this clearly, a child's rebellion isn't always a reflection of a mother's failure. Some rewards aren't immediate. In Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some seeds take longer. Some prayers take years. Some stories are still being written. But rewards are eternal. See, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God hasn't missed a single prayer. He hasn't missed one tear. He hasn't missed one act of faith. And I'm saying to you, Jochebed's story shows what God can do. But here's what it isn't. It's not a formula he must follow. Remember, it's a reminder that God sees and God remembers and God rewards in his way, in his time. So here's my point. If you're still praying, don't stop. If you're still hoping, keep hoping. If you're heartbroken and you need God to comfort, allow him to. God's still working. And I'm saying the ark, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's still able to bring your child to his intended end. But here's the hard bit for us sometimes. What we have to do is surrender them to him again. You've got to surrender it to him again. And there's an encouragement for every mother here. You may not see the full fruit of your influence, but God does. And often the greatest reward of motherhood isn't what you receive. It's what God does through what you've sown. So let's zoom out for a moment. Moses was spared to become a deliverer. He would stand between bondage and freedom, and Moses wasn't the final deliverer. Just as Pharaoh sought to kill Hebrew sons, Herod sought to kill Bethlehem's infants. Just as a mother once entrusted her son to Egypt's shadow, another mother would entrust her son to God's mission. And Moses delivered Israel from slavery. Jesus delivers us from sin. And here's a beautiful encouragement. The God who preserved Moses is the same God who sent Christ. He's the same God who watches over your children. And motherhood rests under God's sovereign care. Mother's Day is joyful, but it can also be heavy. There's some who are celebrating, and praise God. There's some who are just plain exhausted. There's some who are grieving. There's some who are praying for prodigals. Some who just feel unseen. But I want to remind you, when your prayers feel unnoticed, God hears. When your sacrifices feel invisible, God sees. And when your strength feels thin, God can sustain. And motherhood may feel hidden on earth, but you know what it is? It's honored in heaven. And Jochebed didn't live to see the Red Sea part. She didn't see all of that, what was to entail Moses. She didn't see the promised land. But her faith was woven into the story of redemption. And you may not see everything God is doing through your faithfulness, but he's working. And the reward of a faithful mother isn't applause. Here's what it's not either. It's not perfection. Neither is it immediate results. The reward is this. God uses hidden faithfulness for eternal purposes. And the hands that rocked a cradle shaped a deliverer. The faith that hid a child revealed a miracle. And the mother who trusted God discovered that God is never outdone in his plans and in his love for them. And so to every faithful mother, let me encourage you. Keep praying. Keep building. But here's what you need to do. You need to keep releasing. And you need to keep trusting. The God who watched over a basket in the Nile is watching over you. And he still writes stories through courageous, quiet faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to honor wonderful ladies of our church, and Lord, to honor memories of those who've already gone before. And we're so thankful, dear God, that again, in this imperfect world, we have a recourse in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the ultimate deliverer, the ultimate ark, who preserves and protects. And Father, I just sense, Lord, that there's within us today just a bit of heaviness in our hearts. And Lord, there's a time now that, Lord, you can help us just to just release some fears, release some concerns, release some that perhaps we long for in just their rebelliousness. And in all of that, dear God, you understand our hearts. You understand where we're at, and yet, Lord, you're in control. And so I pray that you'd help us, every one of us this morning, to just take the time, Father, to just reflect on you, and then to just release some things to your care. Every head bowed, every eye closed, the piano's going to play, and we're just going to take some time to pray. You know, for those of you who are guests of our church, we usually have this time of